National Rock Review.
Hey everyone, it's Howie D from Hard Edge Radio and NationalRockReview.com. Right now on the phone, we've got Danny Leal from Upon a Burning Body. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for taking the time to check in with us and let us know the latest happenings.
Oh, man, of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, man. Hey, I know the band's been around for like 10 years, but it's really been this last two or three that have just been amazing for you guys, man. What's the ride been like? How happy are you with the way things are going lately?
Yeah, it's one of those long time coming things, but, we're doing things a little better now, so we're happy. Just trying to work and continue to grow and grow as fast as we can.
Yeah, you guys seem to be out there a lot too, which I like. Definitely a touring band, not someone that's just kind of sitting around. You're actually out there making it happen.
Oh yeah, man. In the way the music industry is now, you kind of just have to be out touring, to try to make a living off of it. It's a little more difficult than I'm sure it was, the 80s or 90s,
yeah.
Stuff like that.
Absolutely. Hey, Sumerian Records has really been doing some good things lately, man, with a lot of great bands. How did you guys end up getting hooked up with them?
That's a long story. And then we did like a battle of the band kind of thing that they put out.
Okay.
Ended up winning that, kind of it's a long story short, kind of just kept knocking at the door, showing them our stuff, and eventually they liked what they heard, and we landed a deal with them,
Yeah, you guys have been with them for all three albums, correct, since the beginning?
Yeah.
Cool. What's something you've learned in the last 5 to 7 years about the music industry that maybe either kind of shocked you or kind of caught you off guard that you had no idea it was this way? There's probably a bunch, eh?
Man, yeah, there's so many, it's hard to say. I guess it's like any business, you just got to, you got to go through a lot of things to learn certain things of what to do, what not to do, or maybe what works, what sometimes necessarily doesn't work, and you just kind of go from there, so.
Yeah.
I think it's a combination of a lot of different situations and a lot of different things that we all have learned,
Yeah. Now, are you guys more of a hands-on band? Do you like knowing what's going on with stuff so you can actually learn, or are you kind of, do you have like a handler manager that kind of does everything?
Yeah, we used to kind of like to nitpick in there and stuff like that, but at this point, you've been doing it for some time, and it's like, we just kind of wish people would just do it for you, you make the bigger decisions, and all the little things you can leave up to them to know what's the best thing, in the best interest of the band and better financial moves, more successful moves, and whatever it may come to, why you pay these people to do those things.
Yeah, true. That's true. And it's easier, like you said, especially if you actually have someone that knows what they're doing versus, someone who's like, well, I don't know, maybe we could do a better job,
Yeah, it'd be nice to go home for a break off of tour and actually be able to have a break.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you go home and it's still just running a million miles an hour trying to figure out everything that you still need for the next tour or anything like that. So,
yeah, sure.
It's not really a break ever.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. It's definitely work. This past year was your third Mayhem Fest appearance. Out of the three, what was your favorite lineup?
Well, it was the second, actually. We did Mayhem, then we did Warped, and then we did Mayhem.
Oh, again. Okay. Gotcha. I may have misread that.
But, yeah, I mean, of the two, it was fun both years. So, I don't know if we can necessarily pick a favorite. I think, maybe because of, the attachment that we have to the headliner on the first year, which was Slipknot, I think if we had to say that one was, more meaningful to us, if that would be why. But I think the second year, obviously, for the shows was, a lot better because it was, we had put in more work, we were a little more known, and it showed on that tour, a lot more singing along, a lot more people knowing who we were to come watch us when we were playing. So that was exciting to see. So, you kind of, pick which one you want, but, at the end of the day, they're both great, and they both did great things for us.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys are on your third full-length studio album. How do you feel the band has changed or grown over the last couple of years?
I think we just, have a better grip on what hits the hardest as far as easier listening, easier to get, better enunciation maybe in the lyrics and more meaning in the lyrics, so people connect with them more, they can understand what's going on, and just trying to add the clean vocal element in there too as much as we can, and hopefully we can do more in the future and stuff like that. So
right on. And then twisting it a little bit, thinking of the band's strong points, do you think that they've stayed the same, or do you think maybe over the years some new strong points have came about for the band?
Well, I think new ones always come about because there's always new situations, so there's always new things that happen in the industry, and you know, no industry stays the same. So as it changes, you have to change your some of your goals might have to be tweaked or even changed. So I think there's a lot of things that have changed. But I think the overall goal to just be successful and make a living off it to support the people that we need and want to support has always been there.
Your latest CD, The World Is My Enemy Now, came out back in August. It's only been a couple months. For those who don't have it yet, briefly maybe tell us a little bit about this newest CD.
It's just a better version of the two that we had done previous to that, and it's just a more emotional, raw, real record and in a lot of ways, vocally and musically and everything. So we've just paid attention to what we think our fans like and put some elements in there for fans that we're trying to grab and make that record, and it's been doing really well for us, so we're happy with that.
No, excellent. I agree. It's been getting some good acclaim. The writing process for the band, how does it work, and has it changed at all? Do you guys like have a set way, like you know, lyrics first and then music, or how does the writing process work with you guys?
I mean, it's a disaster. I mean, you tour so much, and you just try to find time. I mean, we're a band that would love to just go home and be able to have 3 months off and just get into a jam room and just jam out some songs, but unfortunately, can't do that because, like I said before, one of the previous questions, you know, you kind of have to tour to financially stay afloat and stuff in this industry now. So, you know, the computer comes into play and try to just write and record stuff on the computer and do the best you can and then piece it together as fast as you can and make something that sounds cool, you know. But maybe one day we'll get to go home and get on a break like the real, legendary bands back in the day to do.
Absolutely. I think it's different. You know, I think it's nice when you actually can, I don't know if it's even afford, but when you actually have the time where you can sit down with your guys for a month or two and you know, put something great together. You know, everything does seem to be so rushed lately to where it's got to get done and there's no time to do it. You got to do it on the road, on the tour bus, right now. You get an idea and you got to write it down real quick so you don't forget it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's better just to get in there and let it naturally come out and be able to talk to each other and relay off of a human being than reprogramming the computer, you know? So we would prefer that. Unfortunately, we haven't had the luxury of that, but we're just doing the best we can to stay in the game and stay afloat with the tools that we have.
No, I got you. What's the year looking like so far for 2015? A lot of touring, I'm guessing, still coming up with the album being relatively new.
Yeah, you know, we're not too sure. I mean, right now we're in the bus driving to the first show in Atlanta on the co-headliner that's coming out right now with us and Del Maya. And you know, we got Volumes on the tour, and Gideon and the last 10 seconds of Life on this one.
Cool.
And you know, so we're driving there and hoping for some cool summer plans and stuff. And everything's kind of just in the works right now. So we've got a couple offers, and we're trying to weigh out which would be the best.
Yeah, for sure.
And we'll see. You know, we'll see what we can do.
No, I agree, man. Two more, and I'll let you go. You got pretty much this whole new year ahead of you. What's maybe a short-term goal? What is something you'd like to achieve by the end of this year for the band?
Oh, man, you know, hopefully staying in a bus. Just on bigger and better tours, you know, and playing in front of more people. And just, you know.
Just keep growing.
Exactly. I mean, like I said before, that's the ultimate goal, you know, is to be able to do this and provide for the people we love and care about and need to provide for. So as long as we can do that, you know, I mean, I think we'll be, for the most part, pretty happy.
Cool. And then one more fun one we'll throw in before we let you go. For you personally, best concert that you ever seen in your life? What's a standout? What's your favorite concert that you can think of?
First best concert?
Yeah, like maybe your first as a kid or like the first time you got to see a certain band, or there's got to be one that stands out. It's like the coolest concert ever.
Well, I can say my first concert was Alice Cooper and the Scorpions when they were touring together, and that was
that'd have been cool.
That was pretty gnarly. Yeah, I was real young, so I mean, the wow factor in the tour like that, to be so young and to see something that massive and awesome was probably something that stuck with me for a long time. And, you know, definitely, you just, you know, you, as a kid, you're like, I wish I could do that, you know. And so that one has stuck there, but you know, other than that, you know, just, again, watching a band every night, like Slipknot perform was just incredible, you know, to be able to see them do their thing and how well they do it, it's hands down, you know, 10 out of 10 every time. They're just true pros, you know, and it's inspiring to watch a band like that do what they do.
Cool. Hey, everybody, we've been talking to frontman Danny Leo from Upon a Burning Body. The latest CD, The World is My Enemy Now, is in stores now, so grab that if you haven't already. And the guys will actually be in town next Saturday, the 17th, out at St. Andrews Hall with Veil of Maya, Volumes, and Gideon. So that's going to be good, man. Danny, thanks so much for your time, brother. Appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, take care, man.
You too.